Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to see this picture. I think a picture is better than a thousand words. If we go back to Hebrews chapter 9, it's good to still read the first five verses. Hebrews 9 verses 1 through 5. Let's read this together. Then, indeed,
even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid on all sides with gold,
Amen.
In which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant.
Yeah.
And above it were the cherubim of glory, overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot tell speak in detail.
Amen. Of all these things, we cannot now speak in detail. I think, to see this picture, there's this phrase, a picture is better than a thousand words. When we see this picture, we can see not just the tabernacle that was presented to Moses in the Old Covenant time. That pattern, or the copy, is for us also to follow, and for us to also take heed, so that when we build the true tabernacle today, it would not be based on the traditions of our fathers. And to see this progression, the separation, right? Today, the church life. What kind of a church life do we have today? Is there a lot of the world mixed in with the church life? Or is there a separation? A lot of times we like to, I don't know about compromise, but maybe we tolerate different things that might come into the church life that is still common of this world. What kind of a church life do we have today? And this is why it's important to see this separation. And then to come in, to go through the altar, through the laver, before we can even come into the holy place. This is why the offerings become so important. Can we come even into the holy place just as we are? Right? If you want to go see the President of the United States, can you come, in tattered jeans with a holy t-shirt? And I'm not talking about H-O-L holy, but, lots of holes in your shirt, especially here, right? But the problem is, you cannot do that, right? And so there is definitely a very specific way to enter in to the holy place. But then even the holy place, within the holy place, we need to be enlightened. I very much appreciate seeing so much concerning the matter of the lampstand and the showbread. You need the light. If you do not have the light, then you do not know what you are eating. And you will not know what God wants. You need the light. And it is not just one lamp, but seven. Right? The seven spirits of God shining into the churches today. Do we have this kind of intense light shining within us? And then the matter of the showbread is not just any food that you eat. It needs to be examined. It needs to be tested, right? Last night when we heard, some would speak that the worship could be equivalent to the matter of prayer. Is that right? We have to check it. We have to confirm it. Is that really right? But we take it so blindly. If we are not paying attention, we go, oh, yeah, worship is prayer. No, we cannot. And so we need to also examine what we take in. This is why it's so important that when we come to the Word, we also need to come to it ourselves to have it tested, to have it examined. So you need the light and you need the life. And then eventually, we now come to this part regarding the matter of the golden incense altar. In Hebrews, it says the the golden censer. And if you go back into Exodus, you see that you shall make, in Exodus 30, it says you shall make an altar to burn incense on it. So this is not the same altar as the burnt offering altar, we need to realize. And this altar here is what you burn incense on. And you shall make it of acacia wood. Again, when you read through the description and the materials used for the tabernacle, you always hear about, you read acacia wood. This is a wood that cannot be corrupted, right? I think the termites cannot even eat into it. Right. When you build stuff, when you build structure and you use wood, many wood gets corrupted from the inside because termites can get in. But with acacia wood, this cannot happen. And this is the fine, perfect humanity of Christ. And then it is also overlaid with gold. You cannot have our fallen humanity overlaid with gold. But you need the Lord's humanity to be overlaid with gold. This is why the true tabernacle cannot be built with man's hands. Today, if we tried to build the church with our own humanity, it will fall apart. It will break apart. And so, the matter of the golden incense altar, even here, it's a matter of made out of acacia wood, overlaid with gold. And then in verse 6 it says, and you shall put it before the veil that is before the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony where I will meet with you. So in the picture here, as we see here, it is right here before the veil to go into the holiest place. And it is here that the priest needs to burn the incense, so that it becomes a sweet aroma that ascends to God our Father. Right? So today, what is this? What is this that we should experience? Then we have to come to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. It says, now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. You see here it says, golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Right, the bowls are the prayers. And then in Revelation chapter 8, if you go to verse 3 and 4, let's read this together as well. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which is before the throne, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hands. So again, here you see the matter of the prayer of the saints. So what kind of a prayer is this that we are praying? Is this the prayer for our jobs? Lord, give me a good job. Or Lord, give me good grades in school. Or Lord, my family, my household. And is it this kind of a prayer that is here? I mean, if you look in the context of in Revelation, I don't believe the prayer is just about that. I believe it's the prayer concerning God's purpose. What God wants to do on this earth. And for us to know what is the prayer that is on God's heart, then we have to know the Holy Spirit. How will you know what is on God's heart to pray unless we come to the Holy Spirit? And this is why in Romans chapter 8, Romans 8 verse 26, it says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Right? So then we really need to come to the Lord to ask the Lord, "Lord, what is it that is on your heart? What is your will today that we should be praying for?" Because if we do not know, then I'm afraid we will then pray amiss. We will pray what is not on the Lord's heart. That's why in James, where is it? In James chapter 4, verse 3, what does it say there? James chapter 4, verse 3. "You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." Right? So we have to really consider in the church today, what is it that we are really praying for? Right? The Lord has already shown us examples what we should pray for. In Matthew chapter 6, what did the Lord say in our prayer? We might take it for granted, but in chapter 6, verse 9, the Lord says, "Pray in this way, Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Is this on our heart to pray today? Is that the first thing we consider to pray? Is that the priority in what we pray for? This is a concept that needs to change. We pray for our own needs most of the time, firstly. And we neglect what is on the heart of the Father, what we should pray for him. Do we pray for the defeat of God's enemy? Psalm 110. What is it with Psalm 110, verse 1, that you see here? If you go to Psalm 110, do we pray in this way? "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstools." When you're praying for God's kingdom, who is opposing God's kingdom? The enemy, Satan. Do we pray that we would make his enemy his footstools? And there are many references to pray that God's enemy would be defeated. Do we pray in such a way in our daily life? You know, we don't realize when we are praying for God's kingdom, for God's purpose, that we are in this spiritual battle. God's enemy is attacking us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Do we pray without ceasing in such a way? I'm always being reminded, pray much. Every time, it seems like this is always a reminder. Pray, always pray for the Father's kingdom. Pray that the enemy would be defeated. Right? And then ultimately, pray for the execution of God's judgment. Right? This, the prayer there in Revelation 8, when you go into Revelation 8, if you read on with verse 5 and verse 6, it says, "Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noise, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound." This is at the start of the great tribulation. Do we pray today very much for the Lord to come back soon, to hasten his return? You know, in the last months here in the church, in the midst of this very chaotic and unprecedented elections in this country, you can get caught up in the politics and talking about it. But have we ever considered to pray to the Most High God who rules over the kingdom of men and appoints over it whom he chooses? And then to pray in this context for God to bring in his kingdom. Rather than get caught up in the debate of the politics, we pray, Lord, you must appoint the one whom you choose who will bring in this peace treaty that will set the final 7 years in motion to close out this age. Do we have such a heart to pray in such a way? So, the prayer of the saints at the golden incense altar, this becomes important. What is it that we pray for in the church today? I'm not saying that we should not pray for the needs of the saints, but we should be really praying for God's purpose at the beginning. This is the priority, just like in the prayer in Matthew 6. And yes, as we are praying for God's kingdom to move and to spread on his earth, many of the needs will be met in the church. But this should be our prayer, right? And it is by the golden incense altar then that we can enter in to the Holy of Holies. And what is in the Holy of Holies? You have the Ark of the Covenant. We need to realize here, this is where God is. In the Holy of Holies. Not here in the holy place. And not out here in the outer courts, in the sanctuary. We need to realize the Holy of Holies is where God dwells. This is the Ark of the Covenant. And in Hebrews, it highlights the matter of the manna in the golden pot. There is Aaron's budding rod and the tablets of the covenant. Right? The manna. Again, this is the Lord who comes down from heaven as the bread from heaven. And then the matter of Aaron's budding rod. This is, as in Hebrews, what we've been enjoying. The scepter of righteousness for ruling. At the throne, there should be the ruling. That's why in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But to the Son, he says, 'Your throne, O God, is forever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom.'" So there has to be the matter of God's ruling here in the church. And the budding rod is resurrection life. This ruling is not a dead type of authoritative ruling, but it is with God's resurrection life. This is the life that is being ruled here. And then the matter of the tablets of the covenant, this is because we need to realize that God is righteous. In verse 9 it says, "You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness." Do we have such an awareness of who what we're coming into when we enter into the holiest place? This is the throne of God. Do we have this concept that when we are meeting as the church, we have come all the way into the Holy of Holies, that we are standing before the throne of God? I have to say, I don't always have that concept. You don't realize that right away. It's an exercise to go from here all the way to here. You need to realize it's not so simple to get there. And when you do enter into the Holy of Holies, and Exodus, this is what I was very much impressed with, again, in the matter of the Ark, the holiest of all, when you come before the Ark, in Exodus 25, verse 22, it says, "And there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, between the two cherubim which are on the ark of the testimony, about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. So for us to come all the way into the holiest place to stand before the ark is for what? It's for God to meet with us, to speak with us. How many of us want to hear God's speaking today? I do. I want to know what he is speaking today. How do we know we're going in the right direction if God does not speak to us? Oh, but Stefan is giving the message, so a man can lead us. Do we come to the meetings in such a way? Oh, yeah, we follow a man. Or are we coming in to the Holy of Holies so that we can meet with the Lord and hear his speaking? How can you hear his word? How can you know the speaking of the Lord if you have all these problems that are not addressed with here? Right. So the goal is, regarding the matter of the tabernacle, is we all need to enter in all the way to the Holy of Holies. Not to stop just here or here, or you can just come a little bit and come a little bit, but never reaching the goal. Do we have this desire to go all the way? This is why in Hebrews, if we come to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. It says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Praise the Lord. Brothers, do we have boldness to enter into the holiest place? Do we even have even the desire to enter into the holiest place? We need to realize it's not good enough just to be in the church life on the outskirts of the church life. Right? Just to be out here in the outer courts. Right? We need to enter in all the way. And it is by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. You have to realize there was this veil. In the time of Moses, there was the veil. But when the Lord was crucified and he on the cross and he accomplished God's word, what happened to that veil? The veil was torn from top to bottom, meaning God opened a way now for us all to be able to enter into the holiest of the holiest place, the Holy of Holies. And now we all have direct access to God at his throne, where we can meet with God and we can hear his speaking to us. Right? But how will we be able to do this if we don't take care of our hearts? That's why it says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Right? If we go through the day and we're defiled and our conscience has been stained, our conscience has been, it's not void of offenses, then how can we really enter in to hear and hear God speaking? And then our body is washed with pure water. If we don't have the washing of the word sanctifying us, how are our concepts will be changed? Right, so many things within us that needs to be dealt with. So if we are to come forward to the throne of grace, then we cannot just come as we are. The Lord needs to deal with us. Right? And so may the Lord really open this picture up to us to really see what the true tabernacle is all about. The church life cannot be just a place just to sing and have good fellowship that makes us all feel good. No. God wants to speak to us. Do we want to hear his speaking? And then not only to hear his speaking, then would we obey it? And would we keep his commandments? Right. You know, one of the things, the matter of, you know, it was shared a little bit earlier, we all have this tendency to become complacent. Years ago, maybe we see the church as one church, one city. Okay, that's simple. That's good enough. But then now we're realizing the church is much more than that. The church is God's kingdom. But do we even see that the church is now also the holy temple of the Lord? Or are we still stuck in our tradition? Oh no, Christ, or I mean the church is just the body of Christ and we are all members of one another and we should take care of one another and blah, 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 whatever. Are we just going to stay complacent there? Or are we going to come to God's throne and to hear his speaking and to say, Father, show us where we are still lacking so that we can mature, we can reach the goal? Yes, 2 years ago when it was spoken concerning the matter of the true worship, yes, it was a little bit uncomfortable in the sense that it was not according to our, quote, traditions for all these years. But if we do not let the Lord speak to us and we're filled with so many other things and we have not been dealt with here, then we will not have ears to hear and eventually we'll reject it, oppose it. Right? And so we cannot get complacent in listening to God's word. So this matter of going all the way into the throne. It's not a simple process. We need to really spend some time to consider this. Because in the end, I want to hear God speaking to me from the throne so that we know how to go on as the church and know how to prepare for his coming back. Right? So may the Lord really open our eyes to see what is this true tabernacle. This is God's holy temple. And as priests, we need to know how to conduct ourselves in this true tabernacle and how it should be built up. Amen.
I think it's very important for us to see, and we need to emphasize this, because this tabernacle that was shown here through Moses is a symbol, it's symbolic, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to us through what Moses have done. That is why it says here, verse 8, the Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while the first tabernacle, that means the tabernacle built by Moses, was still standing during the age of the Old Covenant. Oh, I'm sorry. I should use this, right? Okay.
just a few minutes. I just want to underline what our brother was sharing, which is very important. You have to see that through this picture, according to verse 8, the Holy Spirit is indicating something to you.
Amen.
It's not just something written there and that's for your understanding. No, but the Holy Spirit is indicating something, showing us something. Because this whole tabernacle, the first tabernacle built by Moses, was according to the heavenly pattern. And it is symbolic. That means it shows us what the real tabernacle really means and what we are dealing with today. Right? So I really hope that the Holy Spirit will give us understanding. Right? So the whole thing really is a heavenly pattern in chapter 8 here, verse 5, right? Who serve the copy and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, "See that you make all things according to the pattern shown to you on the mountain." Praise the Lord. So these are just copies and shadows. Which means that today, the church life, in experience, must look exactly like this. Now you have to ask, do we have an altar? Are we experiencing all the offerings there? Or do you mean today we don't have any more of this? Then why do they have that pattern? And the offerings are the good things that are, at that time, that were to come. And today, the good things are Christ as the reality of all the offerings.
Amen.
And the altar is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right?
Amen.
Do you have a laver? The living water, we talk so much about the living water, the water of life, the Spirit that gives life. You think you just have life? Is it good enough? No, because this life is also used for the washing.
Yeah.
You know the washing of the blood, but you do not know the washing by the living water. The organic living washing by the Spirit of the living God. Where is it written? In 1 Corinthians 5, but you were washed, right? You were cleansed, you were washed by what? Firstly, by the Spirit of the living God, and by what? Huh? The name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word is in Ephesians chapter 5. But you were washed, you were cleansed by the Spirit of the living God and by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Because the Spirit is connected to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord is that Spirit. So we need to be washed organically by the Spirit of the living God. The Spirit, the living water, is the living Spirit that can cleanse us. Right? So you can see we do need such a cleansing. That is why the Lord washed the feet of the disciples. And here you just need to wash your hands and wash your feet, because you have touched so many things that are defiling. So here we need to take care of this washing of the laver. It is very important, right? And it says it's made of bronze. It is made of brass. So the washing includes the judgment. Not just the exposing like a mirror, but you need to learn to judge it. Lord, I condemn this. right? I have nothing to do with it. I don't want to have anything to do with it. Right? You all need this kind of an experience to be set free. Right? Then you enter in. And the goal is this part here, to come to the throne of grace. This is the whole goal. Now, let me show you. Sorry, I'm going to show you now a different pattern. This is a human pattern. You come into the so-called tabernacle, and you have two rows of benches. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. These are benches. Today you don't have a bench. Kirchenstuhl. Bank. And you have another row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Yeah. And then you have a stage and a pulpit. And there's a priest standing here talking. Do you like this pattern?
No.
Maybe you can arrange the bench a little bit different. How about that? Plus two benches here. And two benches here. How about that?
Worship bank.
Oh, of course, at the back, you have the choir here. Oh, you have the choir. How about that? Do you see this pattern in Moses?
No.
Do you like this pattern? Why not? You don't have to do anything. Just come in and sit down and be entertained. Firstly by the choir and then by the pastor. And at the end, what happened? You go home. So, which pattern do you prefer, Sarah? Which is according to the heavenly pattern? Kim and Beverly, which pattern do you prefer? Mercy. No mercy seats there. This is the pattern everywhere you see today. Sharon, would you like to go there? No. So, but this is what you see every day. And it's not in the Bible. Definitely not in the Word of God. So, do you prefer this? Or do you prefer the one that I just erased? What is the right pattern? Which one is the right one, Kyle?
The one that I described.
Which one is easier?
This one.
This one. Of course, this one is easier. You don't need to prepare. You don't need to bring an offering. You don't need to wash yourself. You don't need anything. Right? And which is the most important part here? This is the most important. And who is standing there? You have no Ark of the Covenant, no mercy seats. And do you think God is going to dwell here?
No.
Definitely not. Right. So I hope by drawing this, you can see the difference. Very big difference. This is man-made and earthly, traditional. of this creation made by this old creation. But the one that we should be building today, according to that pattern seen by Moses in the mountain, shown by God, right? A divine pattern. It's quite different than this one. Praise the Lord. Right. So may the Lord really open our eyes. No, I think, like John says, a picture speaks better than a thousand words. So you have a choice. Simon, what pattern do you prefer? Praise God. We all will take the first one, right? Amen. Amen. May the Lord really just show us. It's very, very clear. That's why today we need this. To show the difference. Praise God. Amen.